This month, we are focusing on the battle. The battle, be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6:10. And the title of my message today is The Battle That Should Have Been Won. The battle that should have been won. Many times I've seen sports games where there was a team. A couple of guys were talking about me earlier in the service. And how about last week, one of my teams, the Cubs, they got kicked and booted home. And so they're on the couch watching the playoffs like everybody else. But I tell you what, when they lost, I mean, I'm thinking in my head all the times they could have won. They should have won. Bases loading, you can't get a base hit. How does that happen? And so Shannon had to give me some time alone after the game. But you get this feeling of defeat. You get this feeling of defeat. We're in Georgia. All of you Georgia Bulldog fans, you know what I'm talking about. Last or the beginning of this year, when they lost the championship game, I mean, the feeling of defeat. They should have won. They should have got the first down. They should have kept going. They should have kicked the field goal. All these things of they should have, they could have, and this feeling of defeat, and you were saddened by the outcome. The thought of we could have, we should have, it lingers for a while. But let me ask you this question. Was there a battle in your past where you should have won, but you lost? Not talking about sports. Not talking about competitive sports or a competitive game like Monopoly, Uno. In our house, some friends of ours introduced us to a game from Europe called Ligretto. You're the first one to say Ligretto stop, you win. My kids don't like me playing because I say Ligretto stop a lot, and I win. Let me just take that back. No, that's not true. But was there a battle in your past, a spiritual battle? See, because a lot of times we don't think of them as spiritual battles. Arguments, fights, difficulty at work, difficulty in the neighborhood. And there are spiritual battles going on. Many athletes, even during their games, they picture their game as a battlefield. And I'm thinking, I'm sorry, what happens on that field, on that basketball court, because they have this mantra or this goal of leaving it all on the field, leaving it all on the court. I'm sorry, but your game is not a battle. Having daily physical restrictions, I don't like using the word handicap, but having daily physical restrictions, that's a battle. Wartime. I was served in the military, but I never was out in front on the battlefield. I never was there. But wartime is a battle. Marriage is a battle. Can I hear an amen? Christian living is a battle. It's a battle for your souls. It's a battle for your eternal life in heaven. Slide 2. My point today, and I only have one point. But I have several sub-points that will add and help this point drive home, hopefully. Every day is a battle. We need to be strong in the Lord. Notice, there's some key words here. In the Lord, not in yourself, not in how many books you read or how many letters in front or behind your name. You need to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. It's not by your strength or how many scriptures you can memorize, and just the fact that you memorized a whole chapter. You can memorize a whole chapter in the Bible and still not make it to heaven. Like we were talking about this morning, it could just be knowledge in your mind, in your head, in your memory. Yet it's your relationship and your life. And so our battles, we have a battle. Every day is a battle. There are battles that you should have won. Well, what battles should I have won, Pastor? Well, when you think about not the physical interactions you had with people, but even in that, there was something spiritually going on. Think of a battle or discussion or a disagreement. It might have gotten really bad in the flesh, in physical. There was something going on in the spiritual. Matter of fact, when you wake up, man of God, woman of God, when you wake up, there's already a battle going on before your feet touches the ground and you get out of bed. And the battle, as Jesus said, that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he does that every single day. So when you wake up, there's a battle. You may not even see it. You may not even feel like it, but there is a spiritual battle going on. And was there a battle that you should have won, but you lost? Well, what do you mean? Well, maybe the time when the flesh got the best of you and won against the spirit. The Apostle Paul talks about in Romans chapter 7 how, I mean, this is really cool. He gives us a glimpse of what goes on inside of him, and he's talking about a battle, and it's a spiritual one. Maybe it happened at a time when you lost focus of God's word and believed the lie instead of God's promise. Does that ever happen to anybody? So every day you are in a spiritual battle. Most of the time you don't even know it or see it. And to think that you don't go through any spiritual battle only reveals you've already lost one. Think about that. To think that you do not go through any spiritual battles clearly points out you already lost one. Students, when you get on that bus, when you get on that bus or in school, there are battles going on you don't even see. Get out of here, Pastor Rick. I don't have no battles. You already lost one. You already lost one. See, Satan's attacks, they're on anyone and everyone. It does not matter the color of your skin, the age, or your sex. It does not matter. His attack is on anyone and everyone. Your family, your marriage, your workplace, your life. For what? To remove you far away from where God wants you to be and what God has for you. That is what he wants to do, to steal, kill, and destroy. So again, I ask, was there a battle in your life where you should have won, but you didn't? Let's go to Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. Maybe you were, while you're going there, maybe you were caught up, you know, by what you saw physically, by what you felt emotionally. I mean, right now, there are people that are still sleeping. They didn't make it to church. They lost a battle. They lost a battle. They could have been here and been experiencing what we've experienced today, but they've lost a battle. There are people out in the middle of a lake or middle of a river or middle of an ocean that are choosing to go fishing instead of coming to church. Now, unless they're on family vacation, that could be a good thing. But one of the things that we always do, and I'm glad that, because I didn't grow up learning this. I'm glad that my wife grew up learning this. That even on vacation, we try to find a church to go to. Some place where we can hear God's word. Why? We need to teach our kids. So that when our kids, hopefully, in Jesus' name, when they grow up and they have their own kids, they're going to go ahead and implement that very same thing. That we're on vacation. We don't take vacation from God. I hope you don't. But there are people out in the middle of a lake or a river fishing. They lost a battle. So in these battles, there are many things going on, and we have to make sure that we don't get distracted, we don't forget what God says, we don't get caught up in what's going on or how we're feeling. Oh, God, I just want to pinch their head. No, there's a battle going on even in that moment, in that time. You want to pinch that person's head off. There's a battle going on, and the flesh is like, do it, do it. And the spirit is saying, calm, walk in love, watch your words, you're not going to get them back. So, Joshua chapter 6. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given you the city, or I have given you Jericho. I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And the seven priests shall bear seven trumpets and ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Wouldn't it be awesome if in all your battles, all you got to do is shout? Shout, and you defeat the battle. I would encourage you to shout Jesus. There might be people around you that think you're weird, but that's all right. You're shouting the name that there's no other name greater than Jesus. Father, I thank you for your word today. I pray, Father, that you instruct your people, reveal to them your truth today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me go to the next slide, slide 3. Those of you that go hunting, you're looking through the scope and you see this target. But when you're looking at the target, you got one eye closed and you got one eye open. You're looking, hopefully the eye you have open is the one looking down the scope. And you know what? That's all you see. That's what happens in a battle if we're not careful. That's all we see. We don't see the big picture. God knows the big picture. God sees everything. So preparing for battles, it's not easy, but it's necessary to learn and walk in all that God says and all that God sees, to put his word into practice, exercise it, real life training, because it doesn't come by chance or luck that you know how to fight this battle or that you're prepared. You got to prepare for it. What you exercise, the word exercise means to perform, to carry out. What you do when you carry out God's word, when you carry out what God says, God's instructions, that prepares you for the time of the actual battle and the time of need. So my subpoint here in James chapter 6 is that with God, battles are opportunities to apply faith in God's word. Now again, let's go to these verses that I just read. God, the Lord, gave Joshua these instructions. Not one place did it mention carry your sword, bring a bazooka, bring a bow and arrow, bring some rocks. None of that. And those were like weapons of war, or weapons to beat people up. And so he just said, bring some ram's horns, bring the ark, and walk around the city. And on the seventh day, just blow the trumpet and shout. Don't go into a fight, but if you ever go into a fight, try to go to a fight with the ram's horn, blow it, and then just shout. People are going to look at you funny. You're not prepared. Yet, God was telling Joshua to be prepared because the battle wasn't physical, it was spiritual. Now, I want us to go again to verse 1. If you'll pull up verse 1. Jericho was securely shut up. None were able to go in. None were able to go out. You know what? This is really cool. Why? Because Jericho and the people of Jericho and the king already heard that Israel was coming, that they crossed the river Jordan. And just like it happened with the Red Sea, it happened with Jordan. It separated and they walked across on dry ground. It is so great when God and what he's doing in you and changing your character, that is seen and heard of other people, that other people talk about you instead of you talking about you. You don't have to talk about how good you are, how faithful you are to church, or how much you give. You don't have to do any of that. Let God do the work that he wants to do in you. Other people will see how great of a person you are and how you're following the Lord and a faithful servant of God. Let that speak for itself. But it's just awesome. I've read this before, but that Jericho was securely shut up. Now, verse 2, the Lord says, see? Now I'm thinking, Joshua and all the people, his posse, his Israelites coming. And normally, if you were far away, you saw Jericho, it looks small. But the closer you walk up to the situation of the battle, and he's looking right up and look this way and look that way, and the walls are going up. And somehow the Lord has the audacity to tell Joshua, see, I have given Jericho to you, the king to you. And I'm wondering if God, I don't know, this is just me in my head, I'm wondering if God accentuated on the mighty men of valor. I'm going to put them in your hands. And Joshua's probably thinking, how is that going to happen? How is this going to happen? God was wanting Joshua to see, not with these eyes. See, our eyes get us in trouble because we see something and we get scared and we become fearful. And God's like, you're looking with the wrong eyes. How about you see what I see? How about you ask me, Lord, what am I supposed to see? Because I see this going on and this is going to be a problem. And this is the beginning of a battle, and I need to be ready. So God, what do you want me to see? God told Joshua, see, I have given you an impossible task, and I'm going to put it in your hands. And that's what God did. So Jericho was straightly shut up. But God said, I'm going to give it to you, the king and the mighty men of valor. Subpoint number two, with God, battles are seen better in the spirit. If we can learn our minds, our mouths to shut up, and if we can learn to see, God, what do you want me to see? I need to learn to see in the spirit. I need to look at what your word says. It will help me to see in the spirit and not see in the flesh. I'll be able to win more battles if I'm able, if I train my eyes to see in the spirit. And you don't have to go here, but 2 Kings chapter 6, I like this story because I picture in my mind all this that's going on. 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha is with his servant, and there are soldiers of Aramean soldiers are surrounding Elisha and the servant. And I think the servant is like shaking in his knees because he's scared. And then Elisha says this simple prayer, Lord, help open his eyes, let him see. And at that moment, I'm thinking, it's because Elisha already saw what was really going on, that the servant with his physical eyes couldn't see. And so the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he was able to see horses and chariots of fire on the mountain, on the hill with them. There was more with Elisha and the servant than those that were opposing. Sometimes we don't even see that when we're facing a battle. All we see is that big, dumb battle right in front of us, some opposition, impossible task that is unreachable. That's all we see. That's because we're looking with our physical eyes. But if we look to, well, God, what did you say? Oh, you'll be with me? Man, if God is for me, who can be against me? Man, and then you just start kicking these things down. Why? It's because of what God's word says, and you apply it to your life, and you no longer see that problem. You no longer see that opposition. Now you see what God is telling you to see, that there's nothing that can stop you. Many times in this year, the enemy has tried to put a picture in my face, something that will affect Hidden Treasures Assembly of God. And on many occasions, I've gone back to what the Lord said. Yes, he said it to the disciples, but he's saying it to us today. The gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell will not prevail what God wants to do here. Opposition all the time. He's just wanting me to believe a lie. But the gates of hell will not prevail what God has won. And there are hungry people in Hidden Treasures that are pursuing God, wanting to hear from God, wanting to learn of Jesus. So you know what? The devil, you can go ahead and come and try to throw your arrows all day long. I don't care. The gates of hell will not prevail. So Elisha prayed this prayer, and the servant was, his eyes were opened. Not that his eyelids were always closed. God allowed him to see what he couldn't see before in the spirit. And he was able to see that there were horses and chariots of fire all around him. So in verse 2, when God told Joshua, see, I have given you Jericho. Right then and there, Joshua should have grabbed that instruction and just folded up and put in his pocket, that anytime he felt scared, he'd pull that pocket out. No, he pulled out of his pocket. Nope, God said he's going to give me Jericho, the king, and the mighty men of valor. As Christians, we're supposed to learn 2 Corinthians 5:7. Not just to memorize it, though, to exercise it. What does it say? For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We have to memorize this verse. This is what we have to do. This is how we have to live. Not by what we see with our physical eyes, but walk in faith. So long story short, Joshua and Israel, with God's supernatural help, they overtake Jericho. Even as God gave them specific instructions. Don't have time to read Joshua 6 verses 17 and 18. God says that the spoil of Jericho, don't touch it. Robert Morris puts this in a very good way in his series, A Blessed Life. If you have not seen Robert Morris's video, you can find it on YouTube, A Blessed Life. And God tells Joshua and Israel, I'm going to give you all of this land. And God says, but the first city is mine. Don't touch any of the spoil. Again, God was going to bring the king and all the mighty men of valor into Joshua's hand so that they can destroy them. But all the treasure, all the spoil, what was it? Silver, gold, garments. I mean, all of that, all of the spoil. Leave it alone. Don't take it with you. You find a nickel, you know, find a penny, pick it up. No. Leave it there. Don't even pick up anything. It is all a curse to you. So leave it alone. It's God's. I thought that was really interesting how Robert Morris pointed it out. God said, leave the first city for me, and I'll give you all the rest. You take something from the first city, then you'll be cursed. I'm thankful that Jesus cleanses us and saves us from the curse of the law, curse of sin. He's delivered us and saved us if we come to him as our Savior. But God says, by all means, no ifs, ands, or buts, by all means, abstain from the accursed things. Well, something happens. Some people, like many of us today, we don't listen. We don't obey. And so the children of Israel committed a trespass. Now notice it says in Joshua 7, verse 1, the children of Israel committed a trespass. Listen, the children of Israel didn't. One man did. Let me say this. Adults, parents, your decisions will impact your children's lives. Dads, men, your decisions will impact and will bring curses or blessings. I mean, again, thank you, Jesus, that we don't have to worry about that. But you know what? Our decisions of disobeying God will get us in trouble and it'll affect our family. So again, long story short, Achan took of the accursed thing. For a blanket, some silver, and gold. It ruined his family and they were destroyed. They were stoned. And all of the accursed things that they took kind of reminds me of what we spoke of, what was taught about this morning and last Sunday about how Esau traded his birthright for a bowl of soup. Nothing is new under the sun. Today, people will trade away God's blessings, God's provisions, God's promises for something that is temporary, something that is earthly, and something that's not eternal. It still happens today. So I encourage you, exercise in this. Follow God's word and obey. Because God gave them the specific instructions. By no means, don't touch it. Don't take anything away from Jericho. Leave it. It is accursed. Now, interesting is that in Joshua chapter 7, Joshua goes on another campaign. The next city is Ai. And so Joshua sends spies to Ai. Go search Ai and see if we all need to come and just go search it out. So several of them did. They come back. Hey, you know what? We don't all need to go. We don't all need to fight this battle. Just send 2,000 or 3,000 and we'll go fight this battle. Just leave everybody else there. So Joshua sends 3,000. They go to battle in Ai. Now, this is interesting. Don't miss it. 36 people die. Now, to me, you know, 3,000, 36. If you're in a battle, you got to expect casualties. Not with Joshua. Why? Because God was with him. Because he remembered what God said. All of this land I'm going to put in your hands. So when Joshua found out 36 people out of 3,000 died, lost their lives in Ai, the light turned on and Joshua said, something's wrong. God is not with us. There is something wrong. It was revealed to Joshua that someone had taken of the accursed thing. And we know him to be Achan and his family. His family was destroyed and taken, and they were stoned and destroyed. Let me just ask you this. Are you expecting every day with the mentality or in the mindset that wherever you go, the favor of the Lord is with you? Somehow Joshua, he knew the favor of the Lord is with us. We're going to Ai. We will lose nobody. We're sending 3,000. 3,000 will come back and say, hey, coast is clear. Come on. We got them all. But because 36 died, Joshua knew, whoa, hold on. There is a problem here. Are you expecting to win each battle? Are you expecting to put a stop to the enemy's attack? Again, he wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy you. Are you consciously walking in Romans 8:31? Here's another verse. If God is for me, who can be against me? Are you consciously walking in this verse, Romans 8:31? Now that doesn't mean, James chapter 1 verse 2, that doesn't mean you're not going to experience any difficulties. Because James says, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into difficulties, into trials. Why? Man, because we got God on our side. So if we're going to go through some difficulties, you know what? God is with us. And if God is with us, who can be against us? Sub point three, I close with this. With God, battles are won because of obedience to God. Because once they took care of Achan and the accursed thing, God was with them. And every city they came up against in opposition, God gave that city into their hands. Go to the slide four. Listen, if it helps, there's a phone. Many of you have a cell phone. Put a reminder. Let it come up on your phone, a reminder of a scripture. Put it on a sticky note. I mean, get a marker and write it on your bathroom mirror. Put some scripture up to remind you what God says about you. This will prepare you for the battle at hand, the battle right around the corner, so that you will say, man, I was prepared for that battle. That battle that I should have won, with God's help, with God's strength, I won it. So there are battles every day, and we need to prepare ourselves and exercise God's word. Slide five. Going back to this Achan, for a Babylonian garment, silver and gold, he lost his life and his family's life. I came across this, I thought this is good. If you have not chosen the kingdom of God first, Matthew 6:33, it will in the end make no difference what you have chosen instead. Think about that. I pray that you think about this in your decision making. In your decision making for yourself, for your family, for your marriage, financial, buy a car, that you seek God first. You seek the kingdom first. You seek what God's word says. You seek what God is wanting and leading you to do. Not yourself, not even your emotions or feelings. Seek the kingdom. There is a battle for your soul. And some would prepare more to protect and take care of their belongings instead of their soul. Because this is evident in how they live. It is evident in their decisions. It is evident in their faithfulness to God, to faithfulness to church, faithfulness to study of God's word, faithfulness to prayer. I mean, if you knew that your street was the target of looting, some of you in this room, you would be waiting lock and loaded at home. But you know what? And I wasn't looking for an amen, but I heard an amen back there. The devil, he could be underneath your nose and you don't even know it. And you would place more attention on things that are just temporary than on spiritual things. May we all be able to see, not with our physical eye, but with the spiritual eye, that we'll see if the enemy can be ransacking your house right now and you don't even know it because you can't see it. There is a spiritual battle. He comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Slide six. Church needs to wake up. Now, I'm not sure if you can read it, but I'll read it to you. This is the Pew Research Center. 1/3 of U.S. adults believe in a higher power of some kind, but not in God as described in the Bible. So they asked about 47, I think it said 4,700 people, adults. Do you believe in God? 80% said yes, about 19% said no, and about 1% or less than 1% said, I don't know, don't ask me the question. And so 80% said yes, but look at this. 56% of the 80% said they believe in God as described in the Bible. America is in trouble. But I'm not sweating it because I'm looking to God, and I will do my best to train my children so that my children don't grow up being Bible illiterate. What does that mean? Not knowing what the Bible says. Therefore, we must be faithful in studying God's word. You know, it is kind of foolish when I think about, you know, having a safe for certain valuables. And we have a safe, you know, a small safe for some valuables. But if I put more protection on my valuables than on my soul or my children's soul. And it's because I'm not seeing what God wants me to see. And so we need to make sure that we are awake. Church, wake up. Become biblically literate. Know what God's word says. Church, wake up. Wake up. Become ready for the battle against the devil. There is a spiritual warfare that is fought in prayer and standing on God's word. And when you've done all to stand, continue to stand. Because with God is on your side, you on his side, you'll never lose. The marquee sign says, life is full of battles. Remain faithful. Remain faithful, because in the end, God wins. In the end, God wins. Church, wake up and become effective in the battle for your souls.